Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 22. 2 Samuel 22. We have a song of thanksgiving by David here. I'll be reading the entire chapter. However, we're only going to focus on the first seven verses. So hear God's word, 2 Samuel 22. Focusing on the first seven verses, but reading all of the chapter. Hear God's word. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song. On the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven quaked and were shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness canopies around him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me, for I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyes. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. You will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except for our God? God is my strength and power. And he makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He sets me on my high places. He teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. And I have destroyed them and wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies, so that I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trod them like dirt in the streets, and I spread them out. You have also delivered me from the strivings of my people. You have kept me as the head of nations. A people I have not known shall serve me. The foreigners submit to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. The foreigners fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. It is God who avenges me and subdues the people under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king, and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. Thus far the reading of God's holy and perfect word. May he add his blessing to it. Let's pray for God's blessing on his word. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for this song of praise, for the deliverance that you bring and you give to your people. Father, we ask that you would speak to us this day, that we would see Christ and that we would hear Christ. Father, bless he who proclaims your word and bless us each with listening ears, attentive hearts, and change us, we pray. Make us more like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, last week we took a look at the fall of some giants. The first was Ishbi-Benob, a giant of a man with a big spear and some new something or other. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what it was. But he thought he could strike down David when he saw David was exhausted, so he went in for the kill. But God delivered David from Ishbi-Benob, just as he had delivered David time and time again. In this case, God used Abishai, who was in the right spot at the right time to stop that giant. And then we read about three more giants falling before the Lord, one after another. God continued to deliver his people time and time again. And God honored the men that he used to deliver his people Israel by recording their names in his word. We also saw that these continued deliverances were in keeping with God's promise to his people and to David. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18, we read, "For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and the hand of all their enemies." And so we saw enemy after enemy, giant after giant fall. No one can stand before God, before the God of Israel. Each of them has fallen one after another. What Saul's regime failed to do, David's did by the power of God. But more important, we saw God's faithfulness to his word here. God's promise early on proves firm and true in the end. God saved his people from the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies. And finally, last time we took a look at that last giant, a man of great stature, a man with 12 fingers and 12 toes. But not only were we told about this man's anatomy, we were told about his attitude. He derided, he scorned, he mocked the people of God, reminding us much of what Goliath had done earlier. But just as God silenced Goliath, so God silenced this giant as well. And yes, indeed, God will silence all of our enemies. And through Christ's death on the cross, He has done just that. He has conquered our sin. What a great and giant enemy that was. God has taken care of. And even our last enemy, death, will be conquered. And in essence has been conquered because of what Christ has already done. In Christ we are more than conquerors. And seeing this wonderful and this great deliverance, is it really any surprise that in chapter 2 there's this big song, this big psalm of thanksgiving and praise for the great deliverance that God has brought about? I mean, giant after giant falls, and now David just bursts into a song of praise. God's deliverance. And over the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at this song or psalm of thanksgiving. But there are a couple of things I want to point out first by way of introduction. First, did this psalm look familiar or sound familiar to any of you? Have you seen it anywhere before? Any thoughts? Psalm 18 is another version of this psalm. If you look there later on, you'll see it's basically the same song. There are a good handful of minor variations, but it's the same song. Second thing I want to point out is that this psalm is not merely about David. It's also about Christ. The song arises from David's own experience, but here David foreshadows or prophesies Christ. You see, both the third verse and the 50th verse of this psalm are quoted in the New Testament as words of Jesus. Quoting or referring back, at least in verse 3 of this song, we read in Hebrews 2:13, "Again, I will put my trust in Him." And again, "Here I am and the children whom God has given me." But that first part, "I will put my trust in Him," is most likely referring back to the third verse of this psalm, and that's the words of Christ there. And then quoting verse 50, we read in Romans 15, verse 9, "And that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, 'For this reason I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name.'" And Jesus Himself also said in Luke 24, verse 44, "These are words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." The Psalms have much to tell us about Christ. And this psalm foreshadows Christ in a very specific way that we'll be working on and seeing as we work our way through it. But this evening, two things we'll look at. First of all, that praise in the first four verses, and then the deliverance that God brought about, the reason for the praise in verses 5-7. Now, the words of the song actually begin in verse 2. Verse 1 sets the context for us, which says, "Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul." Now last week, as I already pointed out, we saw deliverance from enemy after enemy, from giant after giant that kept falling before God's people. We also know that earlier on, David had deliverance after deliverance from the attacks of Saul. How many javelins was it that were cast at David and just missed? And David ran off. Do you remember as well when Saul and his men had David surrounded on that mountain in 1 Samuel chapter 23? It looked, if you will, like David was doomed. And then all of a sudden comes a messenger to Saul. "We got a problem with the Philistines." And Saul takes off to deal with that problem instead. There were so many times when David's life was on the line and God delivered and God spared and enemy fell. But it wasn't easy for David going through all of this. It was at a certain point, you might remember, that David got quite frustrated, quite disappointed, and said, you know, one of these days Saul's just going to kill me. In 1 Samuel 27, verse 1, David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. Now David should have known better. God had said so. But he was overwhelmed by his trials, he let his trials overwhelm him rather than trusting God's word all the way through. But now that David pens these words, I mean, here's the praise for the deliverance, which David at least a point in his life thought wasn't going to happen. And so, if you will, this song is the eating of the words of David earlier when he said, how could he get killed? Because God had really delivered him. God was with him the entire time, deliverance after deliverance. And so let's take a look at the praise of God, or the praise to God, in this song here. Actually, this song doesn't merely begin with praise to God. You might say it explodes in praise to God. You never can praise God too much, or say too much about the greatness of God. And David has much to say here in these first couple of verses, but certainly not too much. Again, I'll read verses 2 through 4. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, the God of my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you saved me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The first thing I want you to notice in this praise that just explodes to God is the emphatic and repeated use of the word my. My rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. You see, faith does more than acknowledge that there's just a God out there who is a rock, a fortress, a deliverer, a strength, a shield, a stronghold, and so on. Faith rests upon Christ as He's offered. In the gospel, faith receives Christ, and thus by faith, David and we can say not only God is a rock, we can say God is my rock. He is my deliverer. He is my fortress. He is my salvation. You see, it's one thing to speak of God in general terms. It's another thing to appropriate Him as ours, and to rejoice in that relation. Martin Luther said of Psalm 23, which we sang already this evening, that the word my in the first verse, my shepherd, is the hinge of the whole psalm. There's a whole world of difference between saying the Lord is a shepherd and saying the Lord is my shepherd. My indicates a relationship with God. To use this phrase, you see, there must indeed be a relationship. We must have come to God as a sinner. We must own our sin and our unworthiness and rest on Christ as He's offered in the gospel. And let's look at the first thing that David says about God. And as I said, he says much here, but certainly not too much. But the first thing he says is that the Lord is my rock. And that's maybe the richest of the expressions that David uses here. And there's a lot of overlapping in all these expressions, but this expression, my rock, is certainly a very rich and a very vivid expression. You see, in Scripture, a rock, or the idea of a rock, gives us several images of safety and security. One of the things that a rock could do in the midst of a desert is what? Could provide shade. In the midst of a hot desert, walking through it, it'd be nice to be under the shade of a rock to grant you some relief from the sun in the heat of a desert on a journey. be an oasis for a traveler in the hot sun. And that imagery is found in Scripture, by the way. Isaiah 32:2 says, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. David finds shelter, shade in his God, who is his rock. The second image of a rock is that of a refuge. David is thinking of God's protection here during those days when he was forced to hide from Saul in the caves and in the rocks. The third image of a rock in Scripture is that of a firm foundation underneath one's feet. And that image is found in Scripture as well. Psalm 40 verse 2 says this, he also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. God is a rock, says David. He is my rock. In each of these ways, he's a shelter or he's a shade. He's a hiding place. He's my firm footing. He's what holds me up. He supports me. He's my refuge. I mean, all of this is pictured here in this one term. David, of course, uses more terms than that. As I say, he just explodes and he heaps praise on top of praise and metaphor on top of metaphor. He also calls God my fortress. It's the idea of an armed defense. He calls God my deliverer. That is, the one who brings safety, the one who provides escape. Next, David says, God, my strength. Or actually, strength here is another word that could be translated rock. Thus God is David's defense and defender. He says, my shield, which again pictures armored protection and safety from attacks. He says, the horn of my salvation. The horns of an animal are symbols of strength, and God is the strength of David's salvation. In other words, David wasn't saying, you know that Ishbi-Benob that Abishai struck down? He didn't say, Abishai is my strength. Abishai is the horn of my strength. He didn't say, Abishai is my defender. I mean, God used Abishai, but David's giving the credit due where the credit belongs. God is the horn of my salvation. God is the one who protected. He's my strength. We have triumphed not because of the armies of Israel. We have triumphed not because of men like Abishai. God is the horn of my salvation. God is the strength of it. Not me, not the armies of Israel. He also says that God is my refuge. Or actually, I skipped one. God is my stronghold. The idea here is of a high tower, and again, of safety. My refuge is next, again, a place of escape. And then David sums it up with my Savior, the one who saves me from violence. I mean, a lot of terms here, a lot of metaphors, all heaped up on one another, and a lot of overlapping meaning. And the point isn't for us to get down and make sure we can divide all these terms out and understand specifically this one's this and this one's this. Now, what's important for us to see here is David is just overcome by the greatness of God. He's overcome by God's deliverance, by His grace, by His mercy. God has delivered and God has delivered and God has delivered. He's just all of this. David's got much to say, but again, it's not too much. But he can say a whole lot. Because of how good, how great God is. And so he has metaphor to heap on metaphor. And it just impresses us, doesn't it? With his delight in God, and more so with the greatness of God, he does deliver his people. He has not, he will not forsake them. He pours out blessing upon blessing on them, even in time of hardship. And think of the hardships that David went through. His life on the line constantly. And yet he now bursts in praise. He's my deliverer. He's my strength. He's my stronghold. He's my Savior. He's the horn of my strength. He's my shield. Psalm 18 itself includes a verse that's not included here. In Psalm 18, verse 1, It says there, and he said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. And we can understand why with all those metaphors and expressions that David pours out here. And then in the fourth verse, David proclaims, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. What God has done in the past for David elicits both praise and petition to God, and confidence as well. David, who once thought that Saul was going to destroy him, now with confidence exclaims, so shall I be saved from my enemies. And David will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. And he's worthy to be praised. Why? Because he is a deliverer. Because he does hear prayer. Because he does answer. Because he does protect. Because he's faithful. And he never abandons his people. He answers prayer. He hears prayer. The prayers of his people. And these words are David's. They're David's words in affliction, but they're also prophetic. A prophetic anticipation of the suffering and the humiliation of Christ. I pointed out that verse 3 of our song is at least referred to, if not exactly quoted, in Hebrews. And again, in Hebrews 2, verses 9 and 10, we read this. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And actually reading on to verse 13. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing your praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Through Christ's humiliation and suffering, what did he do? He trusted in the Lord. Hebrews also points out Christ's prayers. Hebrews 5, 7 and 9 says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. I could also point out that Christ prayed in the garden before his death on the cross. And God answered that prayer by sending an angel to strengthen him. And then in verses 5 to 7, the deliverance that comes from David from God to David is further described. And the deliverance that comes from God to Christ actually is further described. When the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry had entered his ears. Now we know about this time in David's life. There were many times that the waves of death surrounded David. I already pointed out the javelins of Saul. I pointed out that time he was surrounded on the mountain. And last week we saw the fierce giant with his big spear and his new whatever it was try to strike David down. Sheol, or the grave, was constantly surrounding him. Death confronted him time and time again. We could also think of Absalom, who sought the life of David, his own father. David was constantly in trouble. Death was constantly in his way. Death constantly surrounded him on all sides. One of the commentators says this, his distress went far beyond facing gallbladder surgery or replacing a defunct automatic transmission. I mean, yes, we've suffered at times, perhaps even had life-threatening situations where we felt as if death was nearby, where death surrounded us. But I doubt any of our situations can compare to David's here. Death constantly being his companion, death surrounding him, if it weren't for God's deliverance. But in the midst of it, David cried out to God. He cried out to God in his distress, and God heard. Notice the end of verse 7. David's cry entered the ears of God. God heard, and he answered. Yet again, I need to point out that this is prophetic of the suffering and the humiliation of Christ, the eternal God, the second person of the Godhead. As we saw last week in 1 Timothy, was manifested in the flesh. When Christ was manifested in the flesh, what happened at that point? He had a body that could die. Death surrounded him. He was confronted with death. In fact, why did he come to take on a human body? What was the purpose behind that? So that he could be confronted with death. So that he could live a righteous life in our place, and so that he could take the sacrifice and be sacrificed in our place. Christ lived under the anticipation of death. He came to die for the sins of his people. He took on that human nature to keep the law in our place and to die for the sins of his people. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded him, if you will. The cords of death gripped his body as it lay in the grave until the third day. You see, death not only surrounded Christ, he did die for his people. Sheol surrounded him. Death gripped his body. But as we all know, Christ's soul was not abandoned to Sheol, nor did his body see corruption. Psalm 16 is another psalm which speaks of Christ, very clearly so. And that's made clear actually in Acts. In Acts chapter 2, verses 30 and 31, and it's quoting Psalm 16, it says this, "Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ." That is, David is speaking concerning of the resurrection of Christ in Psalm 16. "He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption." Sheol surrounded Christ. Death laid grip on his body until the third day. But his soul was not left in Hades or Sheol, nor did his flesh see corruption. In Christ's distress, he called out to God, and God heard and God answered. You know, this reminds us of something else as well. You remember what Jonah did in the belly of the great fish? He cried out to the Lord in his distress in the belly of Sheol. And God answered. Jonah 2, the first two verses says this, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord," and this is when he's in the fish. "Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice." You all know what happened later on in that same chapter. The fish vomited him up. God heard. And now, this is significant because Christ himself said that this was prophetic of him. In Matthew 12, verses 39 and 40, "But he answered," and that he is Christ, "but he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And like Jonah, when Christ was in the belly of Sheol, when the cords of death gripped him, he cried out, and the Lord heard his cry. Death could not keep him. Sheol could not keep him. Christ triumphed over death. We have salvation because Christ did come and take on a human nature. He was manifested in the flesh. And he died for our sin and was raised from the grave. And now is exalted in that flesh at the right hand of God the Father. And so we, like David, ought not just to praise God. We ought to explode in praise to God. We can say too little about our praise to God, but we can never say too much. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The Lord, or the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. We need to learn and to remember the Lord in time of trouble. He'll answer His people. God is all of this. He's not just a fortress, a deliverer. The Lord is mine. The Lord is yours if you're in Christ. He will answer. It doesn't matter how bad, how hard the troubles are. When we cry to Him, He hears us. His cries, or our cries rather, enter His ears and He delivers. It may not always be in the way we expect, but He hears. He never abandons His people. He is faithful. He is the stronghold. He is our refuge. He is our defense. He is faithful. And again, we could never say too much. Problem is, far too often we say too little. So put your faith in Christ, live for Him, and to God be praise. Let's go to our God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You, and we do praise You, that You are our refuge, that You are our deliverer. We thank You for Your Son, for how He has delivered us because He was manifested in the flesh and He took the punishment that we deserve. We thank You, Father, for the giants that He has conquered, our sin. Father, help us not to doubt You in times of affliction and adversity and hardship. Father, forgive us for those times like David had when we feel overwhelmed, like we'll be destroyed. Help us to remember, O Lord, that indeed You are always faithful, that You deliver, that You are a refuge, that You are a shield, that You are the horn of our salvation, that You never abandon us. Forgive us for the times we doubt it. Help us to always remember it. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.